It seems when you're trying to do God's will, the devil is always one foot behind you, doesn't it? Well, let's look at what's happened in church history. Last week we talked about facts about Islam. We're going to talk about facts about Islam right now. Now, I have this chart up all the time at home in my little recording studio over there. Take a look at this. See that little chart? Okay. That's a chart of the evolution of Christendom, of all of this. Some of you are very far away from it. We know that the Lord called His church out by the seashores of Galilee, didn't He?
Amen.
All right. We know that Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom at their time. We know that Abraham, Noah, Adam, these were all representatives of God's kingdom sometime in history. But now, we come to the church age. The church age. Now, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life." And the devil has fallen on God's heels all the time. See, I don't feel so bad about it sometimes when I see the devil on my heels. I just turn right around and say, the Lord's had the devil on His heels all the time. And back in Matthew, the 4th chapter, Jesus was baptized, and guess what the first thing He was done? He was tempted in the wilderness. And who came? Diabolos, old Lucifer himself. Well, the Lord called out His church, Matthew 16:18, He says to Peter and to the church, He said, "You are Peter, a small stone, but upon this gigantic foundational rock I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to wrestle her down." But that means something also. There's a double meaning to that. The gates of hell will try. Matthew 28:18-20, it says that He's talking to His church again. And He says, in King James says, "Go ye therefore," in the original language it said, after you've been run out and after you've begun to be persecuted, what? Make disciples. Amen. The little church that's called me as pastor, when I went there, there was nine people. Nine people. Originally. When I left there, there was over 300.
Amen.
We made disciples. We've made disciples. That's what you do. You make disciples. Doing what? What do you do with disciples? Teaching them to observe all things that I have given to you. Teach them to guard with their lives all things. You make disciples, you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then you teach them to observe all things. That's the doctrines of the Bible. The book, The Doctrines of the Bible, that I've taught here so many times, that was what I taught. Did you see the old blue ones of them, Sharon, when you were up there? Now, they were really in their original form. Then when I was in Valley Acres, one of my students out there took it and put them together and typeset it into a book. Well, otherwise it was just all handouts. I'm glad I got it in the book now.
Amen.
Teach disciples. Teach them to observe all things I've done. But now this church has been in existence all this time, but this church has been under hammer always. Now, you look down through here, you see all these little red dots? You see them come down these red dots? That represents blood. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Islam has killed 270 million and still going strong every week. They kill. Every week, they kill. Not one week, not somebody, if some Christian somewhere in the world is not killed by Islam. Now let's go back and let's see some of the things. Let's look here. We have the Lord organizing the church in Matthew 4 and Mark 3. I'm teaching the Gospel of Mark on Sunday afternoon here at 4:30. Tonight it'll be creation versus evolution for the last time. Maybe. Well, we have the churches. In 251 A.D., between Cornelius and Novatian in the church at Rome, they got to fighting over church discipline. Finally, the liberal won out. And that church became what was becomes known as the Catholic Church. You go back to 250 A.D., and guess what they are? They're Baptist. Okay? From that point on. Primitive Christianity is Baptist theology by practice. Then we have the church government changed. We have here between 325 A.D., we have the church and the state married into one entity. Baptists have always stood for separation of church and state. Always. Okay? In this conglomeration of changing of doctrine, they began to persecute Christians and anybody else that would not Catholicism. When they went in with their armies, they marched them to the rivers. Now, by the way, there was only one form of baptism at this time, and guess what that was? Immersion. It's all it was. Okay? In the early church age, when Constantine came on the scene, when many of these, what we call from Alexandria, Egypt, that school there was a school of heresy, basically. Heretics. That's when we begin to spiritualize away the scriptures and not interpret it. There's when we have the millennial reign done away with. There's where they have the second coming corrupted. All of this, all before that, they all believed in the millennium. Now we have the Catholic Church Fathers. Non-fellowship is declared in 251 A.D. Infant baptism is started because over in 325 because they want to make all the constituents of the empire, they want to make those people citizens of the church and the state. Now, there's where we have godfathers and godmothers. Babies can't believe, can they? So you have a godmother and godfather to say those things for them so they can be baptized by proxy. And then when they get to be 12 years old, then they have confirmation in the Catholic Church today and many times in the Presbyterian and all this other stuff. Okay, same thing, Methodist, all that. Church of England. What we have... Infant baptism started. And then we have the story of baptismal regeneration. Baptismal regeneration. You're baptized for the original sin. You're baptized for the remission of sins. All of this. When the Church of England translated their Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, they baptized for the remission of sins. That's why it says in Acts 2:38, baptized for the remission of sins. That's what they believe in. Now, that's all it says. You're baptized. Why, Sharon?
Because
of the remission of sins. All right. So now we have the Toleration Act in 311.
We have a... You need to take the microphone with you over there?
I'm hollering real loud. We have the controversy. We have the title Pontifex Maximus. That's what they call the Pope, isn't it? Pontifex Maximus. We have Pontifex Maximus, and we have him that is the head. That's where it came from. Now that's the Pope. Now the Pope today is called the Apostle of God, isn't he? And he can make new laws and give new revelation. With the Catholic Church, the Bible never meant very much at all. With the Bible, the Baptists always said that is our pillar of faith and truth. That's where we understand everything we believe. Now, we're going this way. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For in grace you're having been saved through faith and not out of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Does it not? Of course, that's a literal translation of it. But all false religions mix grace and works. Grace and works. Or it's all works and no grace. As it is in Islam. Let's go back over here again now. We have infant baptism established by law. We have Leo II in 500 and something. We have him established as Pope. They're going out conquering to conquer. The church and the state have become one, and they go and they conquer little entities and little nations, and they take them over. They're Christianizing the world, so to speak. Okay? That's what happened, yes. They're Christianizing the world, but actually it's not Christian at all. The Crusades, early Crusades, and the later Crusades were not Christian Crusades. It's all murder.
Amen.
It's all murder. Period. The Spanish Inquisition is murder.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with God. It's murder. Now let's go on. We have indulgences started. Right here. You know, you thought that the Catholic Church always had indulgences? No. The indulgences were started here in the 600s. And still we have a conquering church. We have a church going out and conquer. They would take whole cities where they went. They take them out to the streams and they say, do you want to be baptized? Or we'll slit your throats and you go down the river. Forced conversion. Okay? Now one of the most ludicrous lies in Islam is that they don't, for conversion is not compulsive. Can you imagine that? How ridiculous. Just study history. History defies that one. All right, where do they get it? Now we have Catholicism set up here. In Arabia, we have some Christian churches left. And we have what we call the Byzantine-style churches over there. And in Egypt and all these areas. Where was the greatest Christian stronghold in Paul's day, or just after post-Pauline? Where was that? Damascus, Syria. What is ISIS? Huh? Islamic State of Syria and Iraq. Just think about this. Now, these were Christian places. We're going to discuss some of this. But I wanted to get you a biblical standpoint. What happened in the world? What was going on in the world when all this is taking place? What world did Muhammad grow up in? All right, now Muhammad was born in 570 A.D. in Mecca. He's born in 570 A.D. What happened already? Infant baptism established for all. Mariolatry is established. The worship of Mary. In the Kaaba, in Mecca, was a picture and an engraving of Mary and Jesus. They worshipped over 360 different entities and deities, and one of them was Mary and Jesus. Now, if you worship Mary and Jesus, you are not a Christian. I want you to know that. Did you hear what I said? If you worship Mary and Jesus, you are not a Christian. Catholicism has four gods. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Mary. Mary's the mother God, isn't she? That's what they say. Now, if you'll see the evolution of Mariolatry, it gets worse and worse all the way down the line until finally, in the 1900s, they established that she was born without sin and died without sin. She only had one child without sin. That isn't what happened, is it, in history? We know that. But this is Mariolatry at that time, and Muhammad was exposed to Christian teaching and preaching. Now, how hard was it to get a hold of the Bible back in those days? How hard was it to get a hold of the Bible? Almost impossible. Constantine had 50 complete Bibles made, and there are three Bibles in extant: Sinaiticus, Codex Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and Alexandrius. Those are the three of the 50 that are left, complete Bibles. Okay? The constituents of Islam say that Muhammad couldn't read and write, so he couldn't have known anything about the Bible at all. How ridiculous that is. We're going to look at this now as we go. Now, indulgences are established. Purgatory is invented here in 700. Satan image worship is started in 787. The division between the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern and the Western Church. We have infant communion. We have transubstantiation started in 1100. We have celibacy. The hellish doctrine of celibacy established in 1123. We have a regular confession. Confession in the Catholic Church, it was established in 1215. We have the Spanish Inquisition in 1231. We have all of these Baptists down here trying to exist. The Monarchists, the Novatians, the Puritans, the Patarians, the Cathars, the Paulicians, the Henricians, the Arnolds, the Albigenses, these all were there, the Waldenses. They coexisted with all of these murderous religions all the time. And they were being murdered. They were run out of Armenia, which is Turkey today. That's the Paulicians. And guess where they go? Where did those go? Who knows where they went? The valleys of the Piedmont. And there's where you get the modern-day Mennonites and Amish. That's where they came from. They were sound in their thinkings back then. They had the original scriptures when the Catholic Church went in there in the late 1500s into the valleys of the Piedmont. They burned some of the original autographs of Pauline letters and of the scriptures. They burned them. Catholics weren't ever. And they raped the women and ate them. This is it. This is this raping and eating, raping and pillaging and tearing them apart. This is the type of satanic religion. That's what it does. God's people never did that. They have never raped and pillaged. That is not part of the... You find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or any of the epistles. Kill your enemies if they don't repent. Kill them until the last man. This is what they said in both of those religions, Islam and Catholicism. Now, as you see this going down through here, of course, in here we have Luther coming out of the Catholic Church. We have Calvin coming out of the Catholic Church. Luther was an ordained Catholic priest, and Calvin was never ordained, but he pastored Dominican Catholic churches. Okay? Both of them were Catholics. Calvin got a lot closer to the truth than Luther did. Both of them erred. They could have come to the truth all the time. We have the Church of England dividing from the Catholic Church because of Henry VIII wanted another wife. That's what we call the Protestants in England. The Protestants and the Catholics. The Catholics are those that remain Catholic, and the Protestants are the Church of England, Anglican, or whatever you want to call them. Out of those, we have the Congregationalists, we have the Church of England, we have the Methodists, we have the Pentecostals, and all of that. And at 1611, we have a brand new upstart of Baptists that are not Baptists. Those are the free will Baptists, and that's what comes to America here, some of those free will Baptists. But the true Baptists were still Baptists all the time. Amen. They all came all the way down to this period of time. Now let's look at the history of Islam. We got old Muhammad being born in 570. Now, in the Bible, it talks about wet nurses. Doesn't it? What's a wet nurse? Rich people, when they have children, they don't raise their children. They hire a wet nurse to nurse them, one that's had babies not too long ago. Maybe she's nursing a baby right then, and they nurse them for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, sometimes 12 years they nurse their children. Boys, and the pharaohs of Egypt did the same thing. They had a wet nurse. Many times the wet nurse was buried with the pharaoh. You'll find that in history. Rebecca had a wet nurse. She was still nursing the wet nurse when she married Isaac back in that period of time. We find that. Talks about that. Now, rich people, was Abraham rich? Was Isaac rich? Yeah. All these kids. The kings of England, all of these people had wet nurses. Muhammad had a wet nurse. Now, they say that Muhammad's father died before he was born. And then his mother, according to many medical journeys that have studied Muhammad and his mother was plagued with epilepsy also. And Muhammad, they say, from all the descriptions of everything that happened to him. Now, if you want to, there's The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. Okay, this is really a good book. This is pro-Islamic, but if you want to understand how every verse came down in the Quran, it tells you why and who it came down against. This book tells you that. Now, this is pro. You have to get this from Oxford Press. The Truth About Muhammad by Robert Spencer. This is a good book, too. And I got a lot of other stuff on there. This man wrote this, F.W. Burley. It's all about Muhammad. It tells you about all his mental illnesses and the doctor's reports of what they say about him in modern medicine and his mother. If you want to study the Quran, Bill, this is the one to get. This is the Quran to get. The Usama K. Daydok. He had this translated correctly, he says. I have read the Quran about 4 or 5 times. This one here, he translates the Quran, but when it is borrowed from some other source, he tells you the source where it's borrowed. So this is, it's as you can see, I've read this one here and gone through all of it and checked all the sources on this one also. This is the one to get. If you want to get a Quran, get this one, and it'll tell you everything. If you want to understand how the Quran was put together, get the Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. It'll tell you every verse that came down from heaven. This is the source of the Quran. This is it. And it's, Roger, you read this whole thing. It's 800 and something pages. Now, I always study literature from an opposing religion's own grounds. That's pro-Islam. This is pro-Islam, the idiot's guide to the Quran. I got the idiot's guide to Islam also. All their stuff. Matter of fact, here's a tract from Islam. This is a tract that Islam puts out. This is their own tract. Put out from a mosque here in Bakersfield. Okay? That's their own tracts. Right there. So I know what they believe. But I also know what the Quran says. And I know what abrogated verses mean. What's an abrogated verse? Anybody know what an abrogated verse? When Muhammad, in his first part of his ministry in Mecca, and then he went to Medina. When he went to Medina, he changed his mind about how to do things. When he was in Mecca, he was a prophet of God. That didn't work. He got run off. When he went down to Medina, he made a treaty with those Jews down there. This is the first recorded, written what we call treaty, according to Islam. But it didn't last long. He started killing them all. It was a treaty that gave them religious freedom. Islam, in Islam, there is no religious freedom. There is no religious toleration at all, period. I don't care what they say. Now, Muhammad was born in 570 B.C., They won't say B.C. anywhere in their writings. They B.C. Common era. They play C.E., okay? And A.D., you know. You know, that's before Christ and after the king had come. Anno Domini. He was born in Mecca. His father died before he was born. His mother takes him out to a wet nurse. They say she's very poor, but how she got a wet nurse is she's poor? You got to pay the wet nurses. Now, in the Life of Muhammad, it tells you there that this wet nurse was afraid of this baby because before very long he started having seizures. And any seizures back then, they believe you were demon-possessed. And she kept trying to take the child back to his mother because it kept going into these fits, these seizures. This epilepsy. They kept on trying to take him back. But now, Ibn Ishaq says that all their goats and all their sheep were, and all their camels and everything they had were extremely skinny. But they're out there on the same ground, and all of their cattle give more milk and more cheese and everything than anybody else's. You know, miracles, miracles, miracles. Now, you heard that Muhammad didn't have a miraculous birth or anything. He did no miracles in his life. But you read Ibn Ishaq's work. There were miracles all over, according to Ibn Ishaq, which was an early Islam. Later on, we have the Ahadith, the Hadith, and the Sunnahs. Okay? These are all what Muhammad did, what Muhammad practiced, and the different things about his life. And they argue over what he did. Now, modern Islam just is all confused. Talk about confused. They say the Bible is corrupted. When you go talk to any Islamic person, they said, oh, the Quran is perfect, the Bible is corrupted. Yes, the Bible is corrupted. It's called the Quran. All it is a scrambled up mess from the Bible and turned into nightmarish stories. Well, finally, Muhammad goes back to his mother in Mecca. And then she goes to visit somebody, and she dies on the way of an epileptic seizure. out in the middle of the desert. Then his uncle or his grandfather takes him, and then not very long after his grandfather takes him, his grandfather dies, and then his uncle Abu Talib takes him. And then he raises him up to be a trader. And guess where they're trading with, from Mecca to where? To Damascus. What's in Damascus? The earliest Christian stronghold. We have Decapolis, the 10 cities over there in Jordan. We have all of these early Christian strongholds. By the way, how did they get there? How did the cities of Damascus, the cities of Decapolis, how were those churches founded? Who did it? The Gadarene demoniac went there and Christianized those areas. Did you know that? That Gadarene demoniac went over there. All of these, he spread the gospel, boy. That boy, he wanted to follow Jesus, said, "You go do this. I'm going to make you a missionary right now." Amen. You start being a missionary. That woman there in Samaria in John the 4th chapter, what about that one? Was she a good missionary right off the bat? She went there and the whole city of Samaria was saved. They all just poured out like a river to it. So here we have this. And we have these churches there. And he goes down there, and not only in Arabia, not only is there Byzantine Christians, now there's very few Baptists down there. There are some. But what else is down there? Gnostics. Gnostics that don't believe that Jesus is God's Son. A hellish heresy, which is Jehovah's Witness heresy today. Your Carner Tet Armstrong, your Worldwide Church of God, your Herbert Armstrong. These are the things that this is where all this comes from. You find out the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and Herbert Armstrong, all that came from one group, the Millennial Donists, back in the late 1700s and early 1800s. That's where all that theology came from. That came from Arius of Alexandria in the early church history. That's where Muhammad got his ideas of Jesus. In the Kaaba, now you have to realize the Kaaba, the Kaaba was ruled by the Quraysh, which was Muhammad's family. That's his tribe, the Quraysh. They're ruled by this Quraysh for hundreds of years. Okay? Now, all of these tribes, they have sacred months where they won't kill each other. And so they travel there so they can walk around this mosque 7 times, go up on these hills, and worship their God. Now, Muhammad comes up there, and he's raised in this stuff, in this paganism, with a little bit of Christendom thrown in. Mary and Jesus worship, which isn't Christian. In 594 A.D., when Muhammad is 24 years old, he marries a much older widow named Khadija. Now, she sends him on a trading trip down to Syria, where he is exposed to the gospel. Okay? And he comes back, and then she is the wealthiest woman in Mecca. And she asks him to marry her, and she marries him. Okay? This is where he gets his wealth now. This is how he can do his preaching and stuff, because he's married to this wealthy woman. In 610 A.D., look over here on the up here, what's already happening in the world, Catholicism, indulgences are there, Mariolatry is there, infant baptism by law, and we have Catholicism conquering nations. So, he gets his first revelation up there on the mountain in the cave. And remember what happens? He runs down off the mountain. He's scared to death. 3 times this creature grabs him and almost suffocates him. What he's actually having is probably an epileptic seizure. And frontal lobe epilepsy, you see these sights and you think you're talking to God. Well, this creature appears to him and tells him 3 times, read. And he said, "I can't read." He's illiterate. See, that's why he can't be influenced by the Bible. Okay? Hogwash. They didn't have Bibles back then. Very few people had Bibles. The Baptist preachers had to memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and 150 Psalms in Hebrew, and the New Testament in Greek. That was the requirements for a Baptist pastor at that time. They conveyed the Bible by preaching it, not by on pieces of paper. Islam maybe is ignorant of that, I don't know. But they just keep saying he couldn't have been because he couldn't read or write. He goes up on the Mount Hira, and he receives his first revelation in 610. By 615, his group that begin to follow him are so persecuted, and it's not because of what they believe, it's because of his religious intolerance. He is not tolerant to the other pagans in Mecca. And he keeps telling them, don't worship these gods, don't worship. And it's causing a lot of stress in the pokebook of the Quraysh. And they said, Muhammad, believe whatever you want to, but shut up. Quit going out and stopping these people from coming. You're causing nothing but conflict here in your own hometown with your own family. Well, by 615, some of them leave for Abyssinia, which is a Christian kingdom. And they go down there and tell them that they believe Jesus is the virgin born, and they believe them and let them go in there. Later on, they go down there and kill all them. After they've given them asylum, they go up and kill them not too many years later. In 616, another movement of Muslims moves to Abyssinia. In 620, we have extreme active opposition from the Meccan authorities against Muhammad because he's causing nothing but trouble. He's out there challenging everybody all the time. Challenging the people that are coming in. It's causing nothing but destruction. So they finally decide to kill him. Get him off their necks. I mean, there's the only thing. He won't shut up. Let's just kill him. Well, finally, in 622, and this is the beginning of the Islamic calendar, when he moves from Mecca to Medina. He goes down there and he talks to the Jewish people down there. And we have the first written constitution between nations, political and religious organizations, supposedly, but it didn't last long. It's a hudna. They design themselves by faith rather than blood relationships. They're in 624. He begins to, how does Muhammad support himself? When he leaves Mecca, how does he support himself? He begins killing his own family. Their trade, they had a lot of leather and everything, and when they would go out across the desert, he would attack the caravan and kidnap. He'd kill all the men and kidnap women and tell them, you have to ransom. It's going to cost you many, many money, gold and silver and silks and all this stuff, spices or whatever, to redeem, or we're going to kill them. This is called kidnapping, isn't it? Is that a crime? You know, kidnapping is one of the things that's punishable by death, isn't it? Well, this is what he's doing. This is how he's making his living. And then he tells his soldiers, guess what? How were the Catholic soldiers paid? Booty. Whatever you take, rape, pillage, it's okay. You're going to be forgiven. God is, he's condoning everything you do, and that's your wages. That's your wages. Guess what? Muhammad copied this. He saw this established thing, and it worked for Catholicism, and it's working for Muhammad. So he goes out and he starts killing all these people. And then we have a great big battle. In 624, we have the Battle of Badr. Okay, the Battle of Badr. And then in 625, we had the Battle of Uhud. And it's turned into defeat because supposedly Muhammad's men didn't follow his inspired orders. So they lose the battle. Muhammad almost gets killed there. In 625 A.D., now 627 A.D., a huge force is arrayed against the Muslims at Medina with a tremendous amount of power. And they go out and they dig a ditch. This is called the Battle of the Ditch. And they go out there and he asks these Jewish tribes that he's been killing and pillaging there also. He asked them to help him. And he says, they said, go ahead and do what you're going to do. Just leave us out of it. We're not against you and everything. But just leave us out of this war between you and your family. Muhammad gets mad. He goes out there and he wins this war. And it's called the Battle of the Ditch. And 627. He wins that war, then he goes back to Mecca to worship his God, Allah, supposedly. And he goes back there, and they meet him outside of Mecca, and he's going there with these camels, with their backs shaved and everything, and painted, because he's going to slaughter these cattle as sacrifices there. That's what they do. That's why you got so much camel skins in the Middle East. They're killing camels all the time for sacrifices to Allah. Okay? He goes there and they won't let him come in. And he said, well, I'll make a covenant with you. I won't attack any more of your caravans if you'll let me come and worship. And we'll make this covenant, this treaty, for 10 years. So they won't let him worship that year, so he goes back home. Then he gets his forces. And he doesn't attack anybody, but then he goes back. And when he goes back there, when he goes back, 630 A.D., he kills every man, woman, and child in Mecca, his hometown, and every one of his family that will not surrender. And he completely disposes them of all their property. This is what we call mass theft, genocide. But they say, oh, he got this without bloodshed. Without bloodshed? In 632 A.D., well, 630 to 632, we have the establishment of the caliphate with Muhammad. This is his first caliphate, okay? Muhammad is the priest and everything. By 632, he dies. In the middle of all this, I told you that he took all of these wives. He went back into Medina and killed all of those men, completely disposed all the Jewish communities that had given him asylum. Then he went down into Abyssinia and conquered those Christian lands and started fighting the Christian empire, the Byzantine Empire. That's where it came from. By 632 to 656, we have Abu Bakr, which is Muhammad's father-in-law, which is the father of Aisha, that he married her when she was 5. He consummated the marriage when she was 7, according to the life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. That's the earliest sources. This is what we call pedophile, or child molesting, or child rape, and child brides, which they still do all over. Because Muhammad is the ultimate example of Islam. Okay, so anything he did has got to be right. In 632 to 656 is a period of extraordinary military, religious, and social expansion of Islam. That's when they started going everywhere and killing everybody in sight, as Catholicism has done. Is either Catholicism or Islam, are either of those legitimate religions? No. In 661, we have the death of the Imam Ali, and his caliphate was marred by civil war, beginning the Umayyad rule. The Shia and the Sunnis start now. The Shia, you heard about the Shiites and the Sunnis? This is when all that begins. This is 661. In 1711, Islam expands to Spain and India, killing all the way. How many of you heard of the Spanish-style homes with the tile roofs and all that kind of stuff in the gardens and the fountains? That's not Spanish. That's Islam. Islam ruled Spain for about 300 years. France, Italy, all those countries. Conquering, 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 conquering. In 750, the Abbasids assumed control of the empire and capital is shifted to Baghdad. In 780 to 1031 A.D., I told you I was going to bring you up, period of the Western Caliphate based in Spain. All right. 909-1171, a period of the Fatimid Caliphate based in Africa. In 1080, Islam spreads rapidly through Africa. Nigeria established an important Islamic culture and trading center there, and they murdered everybody. In Africa and Nigeria, they murdered millions of people. Forced conversions. In 1099, we have the Christian Crusaders mount a successful assault on Jerusalem, and they get it back for just a short while. And then they take it back again. In 1120, Islam spreads rapidly through Asia. Where's that? China. All through there. In 1175 to 1203, Islamic authority expands to India. That's where you have all of these Muslims from India. We have them all over town, don't we, in all the convenience stores and everything. In 1258, Baghdad falls to the Mongols, and the Abbasids flee. In 1299, we have the first Ottoman state founded in Turkey. And they kill all the Christians in there, and there's where your Baptists leave there and to go into the valleys of the mountain of the Piedmont. Okay? And then in 1345, the initial Ottoman military campaigns in Europe. In 1369, we have the Timur conquers Central Asia. All of this is by the sword. They're evangelizing by the blood of people, of their victims. 1453, Ottomans conquer Constantinople and rename it Istanbul. In 1570, Ottomans conquer Mamluk region. In 1517, the capture of Egypt by the Ottomans. Selim the first is proclaimed caliphate, a long period followed by which the Ottoman sultans retained the title of caliph. They killed millions of those Egyptians and forbid their language. That's when they lost the Egyptian language. You know why we couldn't read ancient Egyptian? Because they killed them all. They would not let them speak their language. Kind of like the American Indians. We almost lost all of our language when they came in here and put in the Indian, what we call concentration camps, called the Indian schools, and forbid them from speaking our language. 1575, the conclusion of the Ottoman period, military ascendancy. Millions die. 1600 to 18, roughly one-third of all the slaves kidnapped in Africa and forced into slavery in the United States are Muslims, supposedly. Except that this is where all these black missionary Baptist churches came from. I don't quite believe all of that. Early 17th, others, Wahhabi movement gained strength in the 18th century in Arabia. The movement promotes campaign of intolerance against the elements of Islam determined unorthodox and unfaithful, including the Shiite minority. 1798, Napoleon is in Egypt and takes it back over for a while. 1850, Muhammad Ali leads a successful movement in independent Egypt. Makes it independent, all right. Kills everybody in opposition. And there is no religious tolerance in Islam. In 1918, we have the Ottoman Empire dissolved with the conclusion of the First World War. And in the years following, many Islamic regions are colonized by Europeans, often with little or no regard for the religious beliefs. Talk about foolish. 1924, the title of Caliph is abolished. 1930, the Nation of Islam is founded in Detroit, Michigan. The Nation of Islam is founded in Detroit, Michigan. Did you get that, Bill?
Yep.
Is there slavery in America today?
Yep.
Absolutely. Wherever Islam goes, they take slavery with them. Wherever they go, they take multiple wives and polygamy with them. That's all part of the religion. The American movement incorporates some Islamic ideas. Elijah Muhammad, also known as Wallace Farad, as a prophet. 1979, Iranian Revolution leads to the founding of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now we have ISIS, the Islamic Republic of Syria and Iran. Iraq. There you go to today. Do you understand a little bit more? That's from their own sources, by the way. But remember one thing, salvation is by grace.
Amen.
Not by the sword. Every Muslim, when he dies, he's got to go to hell to be cleansed first. The only way a Muslim can go to heaven is to die in jihad. And they try to redefine jihad as a struggle inside. But the jihad, according to their prophet and their leader, is to kill. He said, one of the last things he ever said, no two religions can alive, only Islam can prevail. There will be no peace until Islam is the final religion of the world. No peace until Islam is the final religion of the world. Thank you for your attention today. Thank you for your love all these years. And I love you. I'll be here Sunday night tonight, and I'll be here next Sunday night also. Pray for me on my new challenge. It's a challenge. Pray that I'll be... I know I'm not worthy of it. Pray that I will be able to do, I'm 70 years old nearly. Pray that I'll be able to have the strength to do what we have to do. Do you have any questions? before I turn you loose on the world. I know I